Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Good morning. It's February 11th already, right here on the eve of Valentine's Day and having the Super Bowl being played today and all of the hype of that and all of the betting and chances that are taken in the attempt to predict who will win, what the score will be. And then this past week being Groundhog Day and Punxsutawney Phil and all the hype about the prognosticating of the weather. Well, there are numerous warnings in the Bible about false prophets who make bold proclamations that later prove not to be true. Over the years, many people have made predictions about the internet. Not all of these predictions were correct, were they? In fact, some of them were way off the mark. In March 1989, a British scientist published a paper proposing what he called an information management system that would improve the sharing of information between researchers around the world. The proposal paved the way for the World Wide Web we know today. The odd thing is that the scientist's supervisor read the paper and wrote "vague but exciting" on the cover. That supervisor could not have been more wrong. Other wrong predictions include Bill Gates' proclamation in 2004 that spam would be eliminated within 2 years. Well, we were all waiting for that. We're still waiting for that 20 years later. Newsweek's 1995 prediction that websites would never replace newspapers. Well, I'm afraid that's happened. And two other 1995 predictions that the internet would never be able to handle very much traffic and that the web would spell the end of spying and control of information. Well, they sure got that one wrong, didn't they? The same year, Newsweek also predicted that no one would ever buy anything over the internet due to a lack of salespeople. When can we stop laughing? Even though each of the predictions was made in good faith, all of them prove that no human really knows what the future holds. Well, as a Christian, as someone in a relationship with the eternal God, by faith and through the grace of God, we can have that experience with Him and know that He is the only one who truly knows the future. He is our Creator. He sees everything from a different viewpoint, and he's all-knowing and all-powerful, immutable in that he never is wrong, and he always is exactly right. Well, what a God we serve today, and what a God we want to honor again on this broadcast. I'm so glad you've joined me here this morning. Stay tuned as we enjoy Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, located at 2127 Hill Street. We're about to begin Sunday school at 9:30, and then a special day, Sportsman Sunday at our church. A great day. Why don't you make plans? If you're not already on your way here, get around and come on over. Let's enjoy the day together. Reverend Dan Durkee and his wife, Michelle, with us throughout the day, and a special emphasis on sportsmanship, and you don't want to miss it. So stay tuned. Let's enjoy these 30 minutes together just now this morning.
The path that I have trod has found me nearer God, though often led through sorrow's gate, though in my way.
Lord, I thank you for the privilege of living a life of submission to you. I don't have to. I want to. It's not my will to be done. It's your will to be done. And Lord, I thank you that when we learn to submit to your authority and your leadership, that there is freedom untold. There is liberty that comes to us. There is a refreshing. There is a blessed hope that fills us because we are no longer at war with ourselves, but the peace that comes and the rest that comes to the people of God is marked by your blessing, your presence, your smile, your approval. And we just praise you, Lord, for all that you provided for us so that we can know you and we can experience you and we can be renewed into the likeness of Christ and endeavor to live our life for your honor and glory. Thank you for your instruction. Thank you for your rebukes. Thank you for pointing out the flaws and the errors. And Lord, we're just grateful that you are ever eager to receive us to yourself, to forgive when we desire forgiveness, to restore, to enable us, empower us to live a life of victory and a life that is pleasing to you. I pray for your blessing upon each of our listeners today. You know the burdens on their hearts. You know the challenges that lie before them. You know the service that lies before us today. And Lord, we desire for your blessing and your help in all of our endeavors. And for all that you do for us, we'll give you glory and praise. We ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave. Unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar. His mercy has made me his own. My sorrow and sickness lay stripes on his back. My sins caused the blood that was shed. My faults my failures have woven a crown of thorns that he wore on his head. Unworthy am I of the glory to come. Unworthy just to know that he loved me so much. A pauper I walk with the King. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar. Mercy has made me his own.
Our thanks to the Steve Cassidy family for that wonderful song, Unworthy. We are about to begin Sunday school here this morning, and then our morning worship service with Reverend Dan Durkee speaking will be a highlight of the beginning of this week, I am sure. We have a number of items on display that people have harvested in their hunting and fishing activities that might be of interest to you to see, to browse, and to enjoy seeing some of this great part of God's creation that people have harvested. So we're just looking forward to a great day of interesting things and praying for a mighty move of God's Spirit, His presence in our midst, for victories to be won and spiritual progress to be experienced in individuals' lives. That is the key part of our work and our labors for the Lord, that we might see a move of God and that might see individuals making preparations for eternity and to spend eternity in heaven and not end up in the awful place called hell. So it's a very important decision for each of us to make, and I hope you've made the choice to go with Jesus. And let's enjoy the journey together. Come on out to the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. Morning service today at 10:30, evening service at 6 o'clock. Lots of good things happening. And then next Sunday is Family Sunday, and we have some good things planned throughout the day, from Pastor Scott Loper speaking in the morning to Penview Music in the evening, and then an all-church fellowship in the Family Life Center following the evening service. So make plans to come and be a part of this wonderful body of believers at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. Stay tuned as we enjoy the remainder of the broadcast together.
Troubles and trials often betray those causing the weary body to stray, but we shall walk.
Thank you to the Mann sisters for that beautiful song. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 13 and 14. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Today is a day of predictions, but nobody knows until it actually happens. The mind of man will always seek counsel, from the old Athenian groves and gardens to the fellowship of modern clubs and associations of palm readers and fortune tellers. People seek for opinions and advice, even with their fortune cookies. We hear much about astrology and the occult. It is nothing new. This precious book of Isaiah that abounds with such a variety of spiritual subjects is not silent about the astrologers. A severe warning is given that we are not to trust in such things. Though seemingly innocent, there is danger that lurks nearby. Satan seeks through such to bring people into some type of bondage to him. We see in the life of Daniel in the land of Babylon that the people there place great emphasis on these astrologers and others they considered wise men. The God of Daniel and of Israel proved them unable to do what God could do. Such astrologers did not end in Babylon. Their practices live on in such things as horoscopes. How many know your sign? Do you follow it? Well, God was against the monthly prognosticators. As he was back then in Isaiah's day, he still is today. Lest you think this passage is irrelevant to our times, remember that millions turn to horoscopes each day. The people of God do not look to these things, but instead trust the great promises of God, who alone knows the end from the beginning, and also knows what is best for each of his children. People are so hesitant to trust only their own conscience and God. Of course, their willingness to learn from others is preferable to stubborn self-sufficiency. In fact, the Bible reminds us that where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 11:14. Is Isaiah disagreeing with the proverb? No, I don't believe so, for the kind of counselors discussed in both instances are vastly different. The writer of Proverbs is advocating counseling with spiritually minded people who are seeking God's will. Isaiah, on the other hand, warns against the counsel of ungodly advisors, and too often that's where people go seeking things. Some years ago, I pastored a church in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, and one night there were some young people that were playing with a Ouija board out behind our church in the dark area behind the church. Well, in the process, somehow the center part of it where there's some gel, they experienced a breakage and an oozing of this stuff coming out of it, and it spooked them out. They thought evil spirits were going to get them, and so they decided they were going to put this Ouija board on fire and put it up against the side of the church, which thankfully was a brick building, and ran off. Well, it turned out that we got the fire out and no real damage was done other than blackening of the brick, but we had the opportunity to sit in our office with those young people and the counsel of some good police officers who were concerned about the children's well-being. And there I was given the opportunity to tell them and show them that these things are dangerous. They might seem to be innocent, but the devil is behind this. And he's behind so much that people get involved in the realm of astrology and so on, that they just don't realize that they're playing with fire. The wrong kind of counselors we can get into. Isaiah is opposing the enchantments, the sorceries, the astrologers, the stargazers, the prognosticators. Advice based on superstition is not wise enough to be heeded or stable enough to be trusted. All of us have our stargazing advisors. They want to interpret our destiny in terms of our heredity, education, and culture. They feel that every man must fit into a certain category, and they deny the potential of our individual individuality. Some are just control freaks and demand dominance. They would like to keep us within a mold and become very agitated if we insist on becoming something other than what they think we were meant to be. We also have our sorcerers who encourage us to gamble with the black magic of chance. Pitiful are the sights of the lottery lines. Sad are the stories of those caught up in casinos. Perhaps they have their advice on the principle of luck. They ask us to ignore facts and trust in fancy. They build up our hopes on false foundations and run from us when we start to crumble and fall. Man is neither a pawn of luck nor the product of invariable culture. He becomes what he determines to become within the sphere of possibilities native to him. He can definitely set his own course, but he cannot ignore the laws of his existence. For instance, he dreams of flying for centuries, occasionally trying to emulate birds with his own body and committing suicide in the effort. Then he discovers that he can fly within the laws of aeronautical science with the assistance of auxiliary machinery. When the multitudes of thy counselors try to steer you in a specific direction, ask the following questions. Is this for my ultimate well-being? Is there an ulterior motive? Is it within the realm of human possibility? Am I personally adapted for it? Does it challenge the best in me? Would this please God? Well, there are the wrong kind of counselors. There's also the wrong kind of results. The proof is in the eating, as the saying goes. When put to the test, false counselors are not able to come through with victory and peace. Verse 14 says, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. How can they help others if they cannot help themselves? This test of example is the oldest and surest way to examine the worth of advice. What has this kind of living done for the person who recommends it? Have they succeeded where they promised that you can? Bacon said, he that gives good advice builds up with one hand. He that gives good counsel and example builds with both. But he that gives good admonition and bad example builds with one hand and pulls down with the other. All of us will have our share of following wrong advice, but we need not repeat the mistake over and again. Once we have seen where bad counsel has led, let us stay clear of that treacherous path again. There's no excuse for taking the wrong road twice. Who shall the Christian trust as counselor and guide? A man who was about to take a perilous journey through the mountains was given not a little advice. As is often the case in such situations, the advice was contradictory. One warned him against taking any of the bypaths that led away from the main road, while others declared that many of these paths could be pursued with profit, since they meant shortening the distance toward his destination. So it was with a number of things that left him in doubt. It seems, he said to himself, I shall have to guess at what I do not know. Just then one appeared and said, I am the authorized guide. I am ready to go with you all the way if you will but follow my teachings. And friend, Jesus is that guide, the one authority who knows the right way in every instance. Any who try to lead us away from allegiance to him are false friends and evil counselors. Any advice which contradicts the way he has already told us to live is to be rejected by the Christian. So let us appreciate those wise saints of God who advise us in the ways of the Lord, but let us reaffirm that all counsel must be judged in the light of God's own holy counsel. On him you can depend. Look only to Jesus. He will carry you through. Praise the Lord.
There is no problem too big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall he cannot move it. There is no storm too dark God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep he cannot soothe it. If he carries of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my sister, that he will carry. Solve it. There is no mountain too tall he cannot move it. There is no storm too dark God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep he cannot soothe it. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you.
He will carry you.
If he carried the weight of the world upon shoulders, I know, my sister, that he will carry you. I know, my brother, I know, my sister, that he will carry you.